Coming to the greater Green Bay Area live from the WGBW studios at the City Deck Landing and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. You're simply the best. Better than all the rest. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Well, thank you very much, Terry Barr. Good to hear her melodic tones.
Right.
Used to work with Terry. She was a phenomenal news reporter back in the day. Good morning from downtown Green Bay, City Deck Landing, on a cool Monday morning. Huh? It's a little chill in the air out there this morning. Felt nice.
But we're golfing later, right?
Yes, we are. Not golfing. We're working at a golf course.
We're going to a golf tournament for New Community Shelter.
Very special cause.
Right. Great fundraiser, great teams golfing, and that's going to be fun today. But it is cooler today, which is, I'm okay with that, right? I didn't really want to sit out there when it was 90.
Well, I'll tell you what, you had such a weekend in Two Rivers. Oh, it was unbelievable. I was very glad to be there on Saturday when you guys did the dedication for the deck in your father and your uncle's name.
Yeah.
And you guys, how many people did you have on stage that were relatives of yours?
So we dedicated in the new park. In Two Rivers, their Central Park, they totally revamped that park. It's beautiful, right? They had the water feature. They have a
and I love pavilion. Cool City Brewery.
And Cool City Brewery, what it's a great place! And
you want to know a beer I've learned to like?
Well, you like pretty much any beer, but what?
East Twin.
Oh, because of the river? They named it after that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
It's really good. Huh. East Twin beer.
Yeah. I would hope the beer tastes is better quality than the water.
Wow.
No, East Wind, that's a clean river.
Oh, I got you. Yeah.
I used to fish in that river. So
oh,
it's,
okay.
Yes, when I was a little kid.
Okay.
Anyway, yes, so they dedicated this stage as it's like the band shell, the stage to my dad and his brothers who sang barbershop music. Actually, they won the international championship back in 1951, so it was really 72 years ago that they won. But they sang and just all over the country and always talked about Two Rivers being their hometown. So this dedication that took place yesterday, Saturday. And thanks for coming to that. I mean,
glad to be there.
You took a little bit of the shine off because everybody's like, well, John Mino's here. John Mino's here. But I'm like, well.
Tried to stay incognito a little bit there.
Anyway, it was great you were there. And there were a lot of people there. But you talked about how many cousins were there. So I have my dad was the youngest from a family of 17.
Right.
From Two Rivers. Now, some were priests. The offspring of that, we invited everyone to come to this very special family reunion, this dedication, and we had 327 people show up for that. Just
all relatives, and you fit most of them on stage.
Yeah,
so
we tried. I mean, that's
it overflowed. Stage,
it overflowed. They're on the sides too, but it was great, and we did a great ribbon cutting. We sang a song.
I will say this. Your mother does not look 91 years old.
Yeah.
And when you guys were singing that song, she was belting it out as loud as anybody.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
And we had a couple speakers, right? Greg Buckley, who is a terrific city manager and is a city manager down in Two Rivers. And, so this is one of these public-private partnerships, right? We donated money to it, a little over $100,000. And, of course, the city put money into it as well. He gave some great remarks. And then one of the surviving spouses, she gave some remarks. They had notes, right? They're reading off their notes. And then my mom was there, and she didn't have any notes. And I'm like, did she forget them? I mean, she's not forgetful. She's very sharp at 91 years old. I gave her the mic, and she did a great job.
Absolutely.
I mean, she talked, and then she started invoking or referencing the Bible, and I thought, we're going to be here for a while.
Yeah.
Because she's very religious, says a rosary every day. But she made some great remarks just about how important families are and her love of the city of Two Rivers and, of course, my dad. And, it was just – and thank you for being there. But it was really – and the weather was great.
Perfect.
And that park
– perfect.
For our listeners, Two Rivers is a great little community. It hasn't grown a lot, but they've really kept the quality stellar.
No question.
It's just everything. The community house, the – City Hall, the infrastructure in that city, very clean. And that park, they're really hoping that they can leverage that to have a lot of entertainment there. And then just a few blocks away, you're at this beach that looks
phenomenal.
Like an ocean.
Absolutely looks like Malibu. No question.
I mean, it really does.
Yeah.
The sand is great. And,
yeah.
The environment is great. And it's just a great little community. And we stayed at the Lighthouse Inn, which is, right on the lake. And brought my dog and went for a walk on the beach.
How was Milton? Milton okay?
He was good. Did you talk to him?
Milton?
Yeah.
I texted him.
Okay.
Why?
No, I didn't. He was there.
Was he calm?
Yeah, he was great.
Okay.
He was great. A little bit, you know, yeah, he was all right.
I mean, well, once we had Jerry Olson on Friday, who's the greatest dog trainer in the world from River Run Kennels, and he said, no, some dogs don't swim, and they are afraid of water and things like that. So Jerry was the, you know, when you bring in the expert witness,
yeah,
he was that guy.
So. Totally. So, and I'll tell you just to confirm that, and Jerry, thank you for being on. And Jerry, I got a text from somebody who's going to call you about training their retrievers.
Yeah.
So anyway,
River Run Kennel. He's phenomenal. O'Connell Falls area.
Right. So, do you sleep later on weekends? Because I don't. I mean, we have to be here at, 5 o'clock.
Yeah,
I didn't. So anyway, I got up at
6:30 maybe.
Oh, see, I got up at 4:30 and I was like, I'm not going back.
I got home at 4:30.
Well, no, you did. I believe that. Anyway, I took him for a walk along the beach. It's all sandy, but when the waves came up, he would run toward the sand.
So he's let me get my paws wet. Oh my God!
He was a little bit.
You didn't tell me if you went here at the beach.
It was
damn
great.
You, Dad.
But it was great. And people who are listening, we have a pretty good reach here with civic media and with our station here with WGBW. And if you have something going on, if our listeners, right, if there's a park dedication or something,
just,
because you don't have to be from the area to enjoy it, right? I mean, that was great. There were a lot of people from Green Bay, right?
No question.
And other areas that came, and I know some people, you know a lot of people, and it was just
great. Super. Congratulations.
Thanks.
But you know what I think was the most amazing part about your family? I mean, you've talked about it. I had no idea about it before we started talking. But so they go to the national competition in Toledo. Mm-hmm. There were, 100 acts? I mean, it was a lot of people.
Well, are you talking, yeah.
When they won the national championship.
1951.
They were the very last group to perform. And normally you think to yourself, okay, let's just get this one over with and then we'll, you know. And after all those groups, they're the last ones to perform, and they win the national championship. Yeah. And they said people were walking out of the auditorium because it's like, well, let's go. This is the last one. Can't be very good. And people started coming back into the auditorium when they heard them. That's really pretty impressive.
It was pretty cool. They ran the tables. I mean, the way barbershop works and still does to this day, and that was 72 years ago, is you win your area, right, your local chapter. So there may be 30 quartets, 20, 30, 40 quartets that compete, and then you go on to your regional and then the district.
Right.
And so you get all these districts. There's 40 districts. So there were 40 quartets that went to Toledo. A lot of them had been there before and hadn't won, right? So when my dad went there, the first time there, they're looking up at the ceiling, and then they draw for who sings, and they were last.
Last.
And it was hot. I remember him telling me that story. It was hot. People were leaving.
Right.
Yeah.
They still won the national championship.
But this is what they did. That was, they were the best singers there. But, they blew the pitch off stage, which was really smart. And then they ran out on stage and they just hit the note right away. And then people were like, wow, these guys sound good. And,
wow.
So what they did was, that was Friday night, and they have 40 quartets. They were the last to sing. And then they go to the top 10. And then Saturday night is when they do the top 10.
Wow.
And their goal was to be in the top 10, and then they went and...
So give me some Lawrence Welk stories, or Ed Sullivan, or Arthur Godfrey.
Well, some of those guys, I mean, I should remind you, Johnny, these guys were from Two Rivers.
Right.
So to go to Hollywood
New York... That's unbelievable.
Right. But they were treated really well. I mean, they were nice guys. And I don't want to speak ill of the dead, but... some of those guys weren't as nice as they are on TV.
That's what I mean. I heard Lawrence Welk was that way. He only paid his people $110 a week. Isn't that unbelievable?
A week. Yeah.
And I mean, we're talking big time people like Bobby and a Sissy. And now Bobby and a Sissy.
The accommodations, I mean, those studios weren't stellar like they are.
No, I believe it. Yeah.
You know, you're kind of like in front of
I know.
Two cameras.
Yeah. I know. Unreal.
But
good
anyway.
Stuff.
They love it, and thank you. And stage is there. The stage, we worked out a deal with the city where we do some funding, and so it's going to be the Schmidt Brothers stage for the next 50 years.
And I liked your comment about, they said, well, what would you like to be named after? And they had the
restroom.
You don't want to be known as, and it was brick, really nice, and you don't want to be known as the Brick Schmidt House. So that was a very good comment.
Right. So that's why we went with the stage. And
the
Two Rivers again, and there's so many great communities. We're going to be in Oshkosh next week for the EAA. There's a lot of things going on. You know, Fond du Lac and Appleton.
By the way, I saw some pictures from the lights. Is it called Lights on the Fox here? Right outside her back door, Friday night or Saturday night? Must have been Friday night, right? Just yeah. Unbelievable. Next, with the bridges all lit up the way there.
Oh, yeah. Did you see it in the number of people and the music?
Yeah.
It was awesome.
I saw the pictures. Just incredible.
That's Fridays on the Fox.
Fridays on the Fox.
That was, so that happens in Green Bay. And then Saturday was Ignite, that whole thing on Broadway we talked about. And then, but I was reading the paper and there's just a lot going on. And I think two reasons. One is you want to go to those things to support the organization because most of those things are free.
Right.
You know,
right.
And the bands don't play for free and they get more than Lawrence Welk paid his people. You know, they can make, you know, $4,000-$6,000. And those are sponsored. But to go to those events is great. But I think more importantly, Johnny, is that people get out and see their community
Absolutely.
And engage with people. And that just builds community. And there's a whole lot of statistics that events reduce crime. And there's just a whole lot of reasons to get out and be with each other. So if people are listening, they have something that's going on and we'd love to promote it because we believe in that. Our job is to lean into the communities that we serve. And
you know, it's fun having Neo on Friday, the young rapper from Preble High School. I mean, that's what we're trying to do, folks. If you have other people, please let us know. Contact us, John Dutt, M-A-I-N-O, the number 57 at yahoo.com, or call us. Give us a call here, 920-264-0606. Any suggestions of who you think would be a good guest, we'll bring them on, and as long as they fit the forum.
Right, that they're local,
right,
that they can help the community and, you know,
Absolutely.
I mean, people in this area.
Because there's so many interesting people in the area
right?
that, you know, aren't
oh
in the
God.
Spotlight. Yeah. But they're just really cool. Like, we've got a guy coming on today who I just have all the respect in the world for, Joe Vertigan. Joe has written, I want to say, 6 books so far. His one, he worked at the Reformatory for a lot of years, retired from there, and he wrote a book in the Reformatory, which was amazing. Now his book is on the Monfile case. And don't even get me started on the whole Monfile thing.
I know.
Because I've got friends that are very closely involved in that.
I know.
And I'm going to get them on this show. I've got very strong opinion on that.
But so do I. So
And well, they're opposite.
I know. Gee, Johnny, imagine that. You and
I know,
opposite.
Right?
But really, if there is someone in your town that wants to get out, talk to more people, have them come on our show. We'd love to talk to them. And,
it's a community show, man.
We have good guests coming up now. We're going to talk with Brooke from On Broadway. She's talking about a fundraising event, and we want to support that as well.
All right. We're going to set a quick break. Back with more Mino the Mayor right here on WGBW. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a beautiful Monday morning, downtown Green Bay at the City Deck Landing. This segment brought to you by the 101 Club. We had a phenomenal lunch there, phenomenal cheesecake, phenomenal service. You know, that was such a longstanding place in Green Bay, and then it was shut down for a while. It's got new owners, and the menu is spectacular. Like I said, the food is spectacular. And 101 about, Club, stop on down.
And how about the service?
Fantastic.
They have this program where they... Not a physical touch, but touching the customer. So they really want to know how you're doing. Welcome, sit down, and they come back. And it's great. You're not ignored, right?
Exactly.
And sometimes these businesses, can I understand that?
Where the customer is an inconvenience.
Well, you know, they are short-staffed. I mean, you got to give them that. But, man, it's not fun to spend that kind, or it's not that expensive there. But, I mean, to spend money and not be treated right. I'd rather the
just
service
felt
that
good.
We have that right.
Absolutely.
And I got to tell you, I'm kind of I wouldn't call myself an expert. Well, maybe I would. Cheese curds. I do like cheese curds. They have really, really good.
Did not try them.
I know. So Johnny, that's next.
You know, my favorite cheese curd in the world. My buddy runs the fried cheese curd stand here for the farmer's market.
Those are good.
Those are amazing.
Those are amazing.
I had those at Sun's. Fire truck just went. I had those at Dominic's graduation party and people went crazy over them.
Right.
Yeah.
But
crazy
they, over. It is not... the deep-fried cheese curds, lightly breaded.
Yes.
So they would be in competition, those two. Those are two of the best.
But okay, anyway, maybe we have to have a cook-off.
Did that make you nervous that we just saw one fire truck go south and another one go north? we have you have to come down to our
studios.
Where
are you guys going? Which way? Turn around.
We have a lot of glass in our studio, and you can come stop by anytime you want. We're at 401 Washington Street, as Johnny said, right on the city deck. And you get M&Ms, right, for, you know, Mino and the Mayor, Mayor and the Mino. No, it would be Mayor and the Mino. It would be the Mayor and Mino. But anyway, we have M&Ms here. But hey, we have a lot of glass. And I was watching one fire truck, the ladder truck went south, and then the another truck. Anyway, we got to follow up on that one.
One of them will get there. Let's introduce our special guest.
Looking for the smoke. Okay, we have a special guest. So as we talked about, our community, Green Bay community, where we broadcast from, has different districts, right? We have the downtown Green Bay Incorporated. We have the old Main Street. And then we have on Broadway. And on Broadway is just one of the most happening districts in the city of Green Bay. You know, we encompass 52 square miles here. But that district, which is the Broadway area, the west side of the Fox River, has a lot of activities going on. And as that area continues to build and to grow and develop, one of the things they're doing that's near and dear to my heart is they're looking at putting in a dog park. And I love that. And Brooke runs a lot of activities on Broadway, but she's also the lead on this new dog park. So I invited her to come on, and she was on last week talking more about the Ignite event, but I want to talk to you a little update on the Ignite event, Brooke, and then maybe a little bit on your dog park.
Hi, Brooke.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Thanks for having me again.
How are you?
Good morning. I'm great.
Good.
Yeah.
What a beautiful Monday morning out there, huh?
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's nice, cool, nice and cool start to the day.
That's what I mean. I like that.
I don't mind it.
I don't either.
So, Brooke, how was the weekend? How was you have four of these Ignite events coming up, right? Or three more?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, we held our first one on Saturday night, and it was a hit. People had a really great time. Right. We held a boat parade on the Fox River. We had a silent disco inside of the Neville Public Museum. And then we had some really great live music as well. So people really showed up for it. It rained a little around, I don't know, it was like 9:15-ish just for a little bit, but it didn't seem to scare people away too much. They hung around, and we had a really great event.
Brooke, what's a silent disco?
Yeah. Brooke, we're kind of, you're talking to
we each looked at each other like,
okay, we're going to go back to that, but yes. We didn't want to interrupt our guest. But yeah, you got to clarify the silent disco thing.
Well, a silent disco is where you put headphones on, and you put them in a location, and everyone's dancing. So people will walk into a room, and everyone's dancing, and you're kind of like, why is everyone dancing like a bunch of crazy fools, right? But everyone's listening to kind of the same music, and so it gives this really cool appearance of a silent disco.
Got it. That, I never heard of that before.
No, the cruise ships do that. And you can listen to different music, though, right, Brooke? I mean, some people listen to Donna Summer. Some people listen to the Bee Gees.
Last dance. Last chance.
Well, whoever that is.
Romance.
Anyway,
what a cool event. What's that? Yeah, it was really great, and the music was awesome. We had some really great bands. We had this guy in named Jaco, and he just had this stage presence, and you could see people were just really into it. So a great event. And, yeah, three more to come. So
when's the next one, Brooke?
The next one's in August.
August, okay.
The next one's coming up, yep, August 19th, and that's the big one where we have the hot air balloon glow. So that one's a real crowd favorite.
So do you have actual hot air balloons there?
Yeah, we bring in, you know, a dozen hot air balloons. They never leave the ground, but they go up and they glow, and that's what makes the event ignite.
Got it.
Get it, John?
See, I'm all new to this, but it sounds fantastic, all this stuff going on down here.
And we, again, you know, Brooke, you're doing a great job with the On-Broadway District, but these things are happening all over Northeast Wisconsin, and we need to promote these. People need to go out and support them and really get to see other people from the community, and it's great for tourism as well. But Brooke, you're doing something a little closer to home, and that's why I wanted to get you on here. You, with all the different venues you have, coffee shops, businesses, the arts, you're looking at a vacant piece of land and maybe looking at a dog park, right? You want to start talking about that? Yeah, tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, and then we're going to have to set it to a quick break, Brooke, but go ahead and get it started, okay?
There's a vacant lot in the Broadway District, 325 North Broadway, that we are going to lease from the RDA and transform it into a dog park. So we're fundraising right now. Our goal is to raise $15,000. Fencing is not cheap, but it's right next to that Swallow mural, if you're familiar, by the artist Andrew Linskin. So it's a really nice lot, perfect for the dogs.
Isn't that nice? And people will be able to walk on Broadway because you have good infrastructure there. Nice wide sidewalks. You got outdoor seating for some of the restaurants. And they can't leave their dog there unattended, right? I mean, I hope there's some rules to that. Well, we're going to talk about that when we come back, Brooke. But tell us a little bit more and then get some notes on how people can donate, because I'm a big, I like dogs. And I think dog parks you know, if they the dogs get there and they really get along, and maybe if people could sit at a table and get along too, I think that's good for community to have dog parks. And I'm a big fan of that. So when we come back, Brooke, which is going to be, I don't know, when do we come back? Is this long?
A couple minutes.
A couple minutes, but get a little bit of info on that. But how's it so far? It's going okay?
Yep. Doing good. We're raising money, but we'll talk more when we get back.
All right. Sounds good.
Hey, Brooke, could you have a dog yourself?
No, I don't actually have a dog.
Oh. Okay.
You know about Jim's dog, right? The most pompous dog in America.
He's not that pompous.
Oh, come on.
He's confident.
Okay. We'll go with that.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here. A beautiful Monday morning, 97.9 FM, 1590 AM. WGBW, Green Bay's Talk, 920-264-0606. We're talking with Brooke Hafes from the On Broadway Corporation. They're doing wonderful things in Green Bay.
You really are, Brooke. There's just so much going on there. And I know you, Brian's doing a good job, but he's got a really good staff, and you're part of that. I just shout out to Jerry Lee Lewis. Was he the best? Wild
best.
Man? Oh, my God. That guy was so.
King.
I love listening to his music.
Absolutely. Me too.
I'll just Alexa Jerry Lee Lewis, and I can listen to that guy.
The fact that he married his 13-year-old cousin.
I know. I know. But didn't pay his taxes either.
I know.
But
Brooke's like, who are you guys talking about?
Yeah.
I have no idea. My grandpa liked him, I think.
Right. Or was it my great-grandpa? But anyway, yeah.
Brooke Hafes. Brooke, you and I worked together at NBC 26 for a while.
Yes, we did. That's correct.
And you were on your way to a spectacular TV career if you chose to go that way. What made you choose to go into more of this this field?
You know, I have a pack of kids, and TV is a kind of a grueling industry, very demanding, rough hours. I was doing the morning show for a lot of years, and I just decided I needed a change. I think it wasn't very long before Brian reached out and said, I got the perfect job for you, and so glad I made the switch, because it's been really great working for the Broadway District, and the mission is sound, and it's lots of fun, and it's been really great watching all the progress.
You know, it's funny, because a lot of the people that I worked with at the time when you were there all went into different fields then too, didn't they? Because those schedules are not conducive to family life, are they?
No, it's challenging, and you're kind of at the mercy of breaking news. You know how it was.
Yeah.
You know how it is. You know how it was. I mean, it's challenging. So you really, it takes a special person.
Very cool.
Well, you're the special person on Broadway, and I want to talk a little bit about your fundraising now for a dog park, which fits in, but I want to, you know, we're done with that. I want to talk about some of the other things you have planned and some of the other things you're doing there. I especially want to talk about the public market, but let's talk about the dog park, because that's what I sent you a text on. But tell me, so there's a vacant lot. It's been vacant for some time, and it's owned by the city, and they've done nothing with it. And so you approached them and said, look, are you buying it? Are they leasing it to you? How does that work with the city?
Yeah, they're going to lease it to us under the condition if a developer would want to come in and build some building. Obviously, it's a downtown. We want development. We would move our dog park. So we're calling it a pop-up dog park. And it will be movable. So if development should come and, you know, take place in that lot, we would find a different lot and move our features, move our fencing to a different location.
So what are you putting in there? I mean, what's the money going towards? Fencing, I understand fencing is expensive. What else is going there?
Yep, there'll be seating for dog owners, some nice shades so people and dogs don't get too hot. There'll be different obstacles, play, you know, obstacles, a drinking station, a waste station. So just, you know, all the features that you would need, just like a regular dog park. It's just, this is an urban setting. We don't actually own the lot. So a lot of this stuff in theory will be portable or movable.
All right. So people, and when you say some features, they got like Johnny, how horses kind of jump. They have these small
steeples.
Yeah. They have
steeple jump.
Yeah. So they have the smaller ones for dogs, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And, you know, this lot is not massive. This is not rural dog park by any means. So these features are probably going to be a little bit on the smaller side. But we're hoping for some ramps, some different toys and things that dogs like to do.
I can see your dog going up to the first obstacle. It's like, what? Really? Who are you to tell me to jump over this?
And he just kind of
seriously
smells a little bit. It's like, no,
I don't think so.
You know what I thought, Brooke? If you go back to like one of my gazillion State of the Cities, dog parks, we as owners take dogs there to exercise our dogs and let them run a little bit because they need that, right? I thought maybe they should, instead of having tables where us overweight owners sit, to have like elliptical machines there. So we would exercise and watch your dog.
I like that.
But those in the winter would be tough in Green Bay. But even like the obstacle course they have along the Fox River Trail that Bellin or St. V's put up. But it's just things that you can like work.
Right.
It's like that 10-minute workout, yeah. Right? They got the pull-up bars. They have the step thing.
I like
thing.
That idea.
And or you could do like, to get the community going, just have the like the tables that have the chessboard built into it, right? Or like the dominoes.
Do you know how to play chess?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't.
Oh. Yeah, I like that.
I just want to say down in Havana, not in Havana.
Havana.
No, I'm talking about in Miami.
Hey, Castro.
No.
What's going on here?
Yeah.
Wow. No wonder I was smoking good cigars.
In Miami, they have that Havana area.
Little Havana.
Right. And in the park there, it's all, the tables are made for dominoes.
Oh.
So people play that all day.
Yeah.
And they can smoke cigars, can't drink in there. But it's so well attended by a lot of locals, but even some of us tourists go in there. But besides the dogs getting, you know, to know each other, it gets people. So either a chess table would be great. I would love to play chess there. Or an elliptical or some kind of workout facility. I don't know that I would use that, but I would promote it on my radio show.
I can see you doing chess.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, not the elliptical.
No.
I'm just saying. Anyway. I just visualize. What I visualize, you know, when you talk about that, that's what I see.
Yeah. So how do we support this park? And what's the timing on it? Like I told you, my wife and I definitely want to donate. But how do you donate to this park?
Yeah, there's a couple ways. You can head to our website. We have a very easy PayPal link where you can make a donation online. You can swing by our office if you want to learn more. We're always around, you know, to talk about it. You could drop off a check, mail in a check. So those are just a couple ways. And you know, I'm going to take all of your ideas and I'm going to bring them back to my staff because we are going to hopefully program this dog park regularly. I mean, that's kind of part of what we do is we program our district. So we're going to program this dog park with ice cream socials and dog yoga and things like that as well. So
dog yoga? You did not say dog yoga.
Yeah, she did.
Okay.
We're already signed up.
Yeah.
Do you think there's ever been a time where more people have had dogs as pets? I mean, you can't walk around downtown Green Bay without every other person, it seems like, having a dog on a leash. It's incredible, isn't it, Brooke?
Yeah, and there's only one dog park in the city of Green Bay, which is ridiculous. And we have a ton of increasing residential density in our district, and a lot of those people have dogs. So we need a place for them to commingle and to go. A lot of employers are letting their dogs in their offices now. Ours does. And, you know, they need places to walk their dogs at lunch hour.
That's great. And I spend some time at the new community shelter, which I will use your dog park. The dog park you're talking about in Green Bay on Main Street, right across from the old bus station. I go there every day. It's a great park. Met some great people. And there's apartments around there, too. And those people just got to, you know, I was telling Johnny, we talked about my dog a couple times. But I think the dog owners today are super responsible. I mean, they pick up after their dog. Their dogs don't, like, bite or
fight. Do
you
remember when that was the biggest topic in New York City? I think where that his big thing was about people cleaning up after themselves with their dogs.
Yeah,
that was like the big thing that got him elected. That was such a big item.
But I think there are more dog owners. But boy, I tell you, the dog owners today I think are super responsible. Like I wish we could bring Milton into more restaurants. I mean, they have the outdoor seating in Green Bay where they let you, but they're not real open yet about your dog sitting.
Well,
next
people
to you.
Take. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I don't have a dog, but people take dogs like for checkups now, right? Like even if there's nothing wrong with them.
Oh yeah.
Because our dog, the only time I ever remember taking one of our dogs to the vet, all right, my whole life having dogs growing up, hunting dogs, was when they would attack a porcupine and they get all their quills in their mouth. And they'd have to go there and he'd pull out the quills.
No.
Yes. Johnny, do you know how you get quills out of a dog's mouth? Do you want to know?
Oh God.
You cut it first, so then it kind of collapses and you can pull them out with pliers. That's how you do it. I've actually pulled quills out of my dog.
Now, today, did you, I hope you gave him Novocaine or something to reduce the pain.
I don't know.
I don't think
I don't remember that. I'll be honest with you.
Do you know that the number one insurance right now pet insurance.
Really?
Yeah, we got it.
I had no idea that there was such a thing.
Yeah, there is. Oh, wow. Yeah, it's great. So
you want to hear my heartbreaking story of my dog?
No, I don't like sad stories.
You sure?
Yeah, no, not about dogs.
All right.
Yeah, no.
So anyway, I had this dog named Jet. Okay.
See how he listens to me, and Brooke? No, John, no. I'm shaking my head.
I had this dog named Jet, okay? And my neighborhood friends said, hey, come here. There's a raccoon that got hit by a car. Let's skin it. So I went and got my knife to skin the raccoon.
What year did you grow up? Okay, go ahead.
This is the 60s, okay? And it was my dog, Jet.
No.
Yes.
Oh.
How tragic is
that's
that?
That's sad.
We so actually friends... held a funeral. We built a big cross.
Well, I like that.
And we have like the Mount Cavalry thing
cool.
going around. So.
So you were called.
So we buried him. Then we, 2 years later, we dug him up.
Oh, God. You were called to the scene of an accident.
Yes.
And it was your dog.
Yes. Oh, and I was told it was a raccoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. That's sad. All right.
Okay.
Let's move to happier times.
Right.
If there would have been a dog park there,
yeah.
that would have never happened.
Yeah, you know could never be though. I'm going to tell you who I'm not. I'm not the guy that can walk around with a plastic bag.
That's
you know what I'm saying.
I was back to responsible dog owner.
I know.
What do you mean you can't?
I just couldn't. I wouldn't be able to do that.
You can just tie it to the leash if you want to hold it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Anyway, the dog park. I hope if you take, because you don't have a dog, but if you did, you would clean up after your dog, though. You'd pick it up and then put it in the garbage can, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm sure you would.
Yes, I would.
Brooke, tell me, I want to talk about a couple other things. So you can go, what's the website to go to if we want to donate to your dog park? I mean, just give us that address one more time.
Sure, downtowngreenbay.com.
Beautiful. And right. Tell us a little bit about the potential of the big market going in down there in Broadway.
Yeah, our public market project is super exciting. And we've been working very hard behind the scenes. I know a lot of people have been reaching out, asking when we're going to see some action. But we just officially launched our capital campaign. So we're heavy into fundraising at the moment. And we're hoping to break ground in spring of 2024.
Is that in the old Fort Square?
That's correct. Yes.
So you'd use that.
North okay. Broadway.
I used to work there for a real estate company, and I really love that building.
Yeah, it's got good bones, you know. I mean, it appears smaller on the inside than it actually is. It's almost nearly 50,000 square feet. It's the exact same size as the Milwaukee Public Market. So that is sort of what we're mirroring our concept and design after is the Milwaukee Public Market.
Oh, by the way, can we talk about Art Fest real quick?
I don't do Art Fest. Oh, okay. That would That's be downtown Green Bay Incorporated.
Oh, okay.
I want to hate that. I think a lot of our listeners have been to the Milwaukee Public Market. Johnny?
No, I haven't. Oh,
Brooke, I can't tell you how many times I've said, so you're the guy. Like we talked about, everyone's seen Hamilton. Johnny's like, I haven't. Oh, you're the guy.
Have you seen Hamilton, Brooke?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay, all right.
Jason, have you seen Hamilton? Oh, Jason did.
All right. All right. Right. Well, okay. Anyway, but that Milwaukee Public Market, which a lot of people have gone to, and that was a public-private partnership with the city. I've always been down there, talked to the team that put that together. That has really been a catalyst for that whole district down in Milwaukee. And
that's exactly why we're mirroring it after that, is because it's owned and operated by their third ward, which is also their business improvement district, just like us. And it's a similar size, and we want to see that catalytic development just like that happened there.
And boy, did that work. And that is what's cool about that is it's pretty entrepreneurial driven. It's the freshest and best of everything from tea to fish to just anything you can get there with the great wines. And what that brought about was even more housing in the third ward and some great businesses. So I want you to keep us updated on that, because that I think could really be a catalyst for on Broadway's been doing all right. It's been a district now for 12, 15 years, but that could really be the impetus for some unbelievable growth down there.
And Brooke, find me a place where I can put my military veterans museum.
Yes.
I'll work on that.
Put that on your list.
Yes, we're looking for that.
We want a military veterans museum, and then we also want a music museum to honor the great artists in music. And when I saw it, not just music.
You won't just let me have my thing, right?
No, I can't. I can't. We're 50-50 on this deal. Right. So, But Brooke, this is keep up the good work there. And we want to have you in when you talk the next Ignite that's coming up. I want to get you on before that so we can talk about it, because those are great venues. And those hot air balloons, I remember you've done that before. And
did you ever grow up in one, Brooke?
No, I haven't. I actually hear they're like the most dangerous form of transportation.
A lot of stories on that. And then some flashbacks. Yeah, that's they're They can be. I was telling Johnny they had one in Hobart, and but it was tethered, and so we just went up and down. But they we never were set
free. Well,
you
went pretty high. You went like 300 feet, though.
You know what? I thought about that. I might have been scared. It might have not been 300 feet.
Brooke Hayes on Broadway. Hayes.
Thank you, Brooke.
Great having you on.
Thanks,
Brooke.
Guys.
Don't be a stranger.
All right.
Thanks very much. So, you know one thing, though, too, about those hot air balloons?
Yeah.
Do you ever see that place in New Mexico where they that's, I know people that went down to that. They said that's one of the most spectacular things you'll ever see in your lifetime.
And the most beautiful.
It's like the EAA of hot air balloons.
Totally.
In Santa Fe, I think it is. They sent me some pictures one time. It's like unbelievable. All right, we got to send a quick break. Good music. Jason pulling it out.
All right, Jason.
Good stuff.
Good tunes. Get us going.
Welcome back. Minor the Mayor here on a Monday morning, 97.9 FM, 1590 AM. Phone number 920-264-0606. All of our phone line issues have been worked out.
Finally.
So if you'd like to call to say hello, or if anything's on your mind, please give us a call, 920-264-0606. We actually have somebody manning the phones, and they are now working flawlessly. 264-0606. You know, I put a little thing on my Facebook. We're going to have a little bit of a flying monkey reunion on the show one day.
Yeah, I heard that, or saw that.
And we're starting off... I want all my Flying Monkey folks, alumni, to give us a call, give us a shout out when they get a chance, because we're having one of their own on Thursday, which I'm very excited about. Big Wayne Stiegelman. Do you know Big Wayne?
I did not.
Big Wayne used to work for MGL. Big Wayne is from Wausaukee, played football at Northern Michigan, worked for MGL Fitness, became a professional bodybuilder. He is a...
How do you know him?
Personal
then?
Trainer.
Doesn't sound like anything that you would run into him. Tell me more. How'd you get to know this guy? But go ahead.
Ignore that. I feel like getting slammed on a Monday morning. So Big Wayne now is a physical trainer. And the most amazing part about this, he's a beekeeper. He runs a bee farm or a bee ranch.
No way.
Or a bee. What would that be called? A bee farm?
I think it's a bee farm. Yeah.
So he wears the big old thing, you know.
Oh yeah,
covering himself like
those astronaut things.
Too. Yeah,
yeah,
it's unbelievable. It's like it's almost like the male version of like what the ladies in like Afghanistan and that wear. Then they call them beekeeper uniforms. They really do. I mean, I hate to say it, but you know, with the whole things, and they just got like a little thing where they can see out of. It's you know what's crazy? When I was in Dubai,
I think the astronaut analogy is a little bit better.
No,
go ahead.
This is better.
Okay, all right.
It's almost exactly the same thing.
All right.
It was kind of funny because like when I was in the airport in Dubai waiting to go to Afghanistan, and I'm sitting next to a bunch of the ladies dressed all like that, but their little kids had like strawberry shortcake purses and tennis shoes and you know Barbies and everything like that. It's like you know the yin and the yang of the old culture versus the young kids, how they wanted to
be. Right.
Yes.
So the beekeeper that's coming, he is a local guy?
I mean, yeah.
They do that like in Green Bay?
It's big time. That's big time stuff.
That'd be great.
Yes. That'll be awesome.
And he's going to tell us, okay, and I want to ask him. You know what I want to ask him, Johnny? I have allergies, right? And they say to eat honey every day. You know, because my allergies are from plants and pollen, that if you eat the local honey, that's like one of the best allergy reliefs. Like if I would get honey from Nashville, that wouldn't work as well as local honey because that's where the bees pollinate.
Really?
Yeah, I want to ask this guy about that because that's my daughter.
So because it's eating local stuff that's affecting you.
Right. That can build up your immune system for allergies. And my daughter who lives in Nashville is like, Dad, you've got to get some honey, and it's working because she has allergies as well. But I said, well, send me some. And she said, no, you have to get your local honey because that's where the bees pollinate. And
That's interesting.
I want to ask him about that. But anyway, he's... Yeah,
So what do you take? Just like a spoonful?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, that's it. Just
And that's all you need.
Yes, according to her.
Interesting.
She's much smarter.
Well, we're
going
to talk to Wayne about that. Oh, Wayne will fill us in on that. Big Wayne. Oh my gosh, that'll be fun.
Yeah. So that'd be a great guest. So Johnny,
I'm not a big bee fan, though. I'll be honest with you.
Oh no,
I've been stung by a couple that were just like incredibly painful. And I'm did you ever catch them when you were a kid in jars?
Oh yeah,
everybody's done that. Yeah. We go on the dandelions, you catch them, and
we had insect collections. You know how I made a little bit of money?
How'd you make money? Picking
grade.
Night crawlers?
Like no, I didn't pick. No, that. Ugh. Everyone had to present an insect collection, right? Huh? On the styrofoam with the pins through.
Okay.
You know, different butterflies, moths, and you don't want to. You can't like kill them. Like,
yeah,
smash
them. Okay, I always thought that was kind of mean.
No, that's
it's
not
like, did you take a butterfly and then impale him into the styrofoam
until
he was dead?
No.
Is that what you did?
No, this is where you get a mayonnaise jar.
And why would you want to kill a butterfly?
This is what you do. You get a mayonnaise jar, put in sawdust and then plaster Paris and then put holes in that. And then you would pour in the alcohol, ephemeral, whatever that's called. And it would go into the sawdust, right?
Okay.
And then you would capture with your jar the butterfly and put the top on, and they would just die because of the fumes.
Ah.
And then they would be preserved.
Okay.
And you spread the wings and put them on there and then put the little label on.
That's how you do it.
And I did not know that. But Johnny, you know, I made those and sold them to my friends.
Sold them?
Yeah, I made the jar with the plaster and
I got you. Okay.
And then I sold them. They had to collect
their own
butterflies.
Basically the gas chamber. You made the gas chamber.
I made the gas chamber, okay. But like I sold them for like 50 cents, which was a lot of money back then.
Yes, it was.
Sixth grade.
Absolutely.
Anyway. Because my dad had a lumber company, so I would get the sawdust from him and then the plaster Paris from him. And
I've always wondered about that, how they could be look so real.
Right.
Okay.
Spread out their wings. And
yeah.
And there's a, you know, back when we were, you know, in grade school, but there's there's such a variety of butterflies and just flies and bees and wasps, and kids can learn that. And anyway, it'd be interesting to talk to this beekeeper because you hear that. We're not winning the battle that we have less monarchs. We have because of our environment. I wonder if that's happening up here. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
there's not as much milkweed, right? Because
I've got a good friend. He runs the Butterfly Museum.
That place
outside
is
of
awesome.
Appleton. Yeah.
Okay.
It's really something else.
Yes.
It really and truly is.
My wife raises butterflies. And
your wife raises butterflies?
This is what she does. I don't know.
Okay.
We don't have enough time for this. We got.
She raises butterflies.
There's a whole.
How does she raise butterflies?
You go out in the backyard and you find a on a piece of milkweed a little dot that is a caterpillar, and I'm telling you it's a pinhead. So she brings that in and they turn into like a little caterpillar. She's got four different because
right.
they eat a lot and they will eat their own, so you gotta kind of separate them a little bit. And then they go into a
polar bears do that too.
Okay. They go into a jay and then the cocoon, and then they became a butterfly. So she released, I think, four butterflies last week. She's going to save the world. She does like nine a year.
What do butterflies do for the world? I'm just curious. I don't know.
You know what? You need to call her. I just.
There's no more butterflies. The world shall end Tuesday.
No, they
what
serve
do butterflies
a purpose.
Do? What?
You know what? I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe this guy will know. If he knows bees, he probably knows a little bit about butterflies. We'll ask him when we come back. But
I mean, they don't eat other insects. You know, they say don't kill certain things like dragonflies because they eat so many mosquitoes. And what do butterflies do?
They help kids learn about nature because they start off as a caterpillar. A kid can watch them go into a cocoon and become a butterfly.
That's not good enough. What do they add to the environment? Butterfly. Anything, yes or no?
You want to hold them accountable?
Yes.
You know what? I will find out. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get that done today, but this week I will tell you the purpose of butterflies.
You know what I think is? I think nothing.
No, they do.
I think it's nothing.
They
I don't think they serve a purpose.
No,
nothing against butterflies. They're beautiful.
No, don't be saying
but
that.
But I don't think they environmentally do anything for
there's
us.
A huge association to save the monarchs. So,
yeah, I know. No. I think they get a free pass.
No, I don't think so.
I do.
I think you're picking a fight here, Johnny. You don't want to pick.
Know. I'm just
those
saying.
Are some pretty tenacious people who raise butterflies.
All right. We're going to be back with Joel Vertigan right after this. Mind on the Mirror.